Utah became the first state this year to outlaw gender-affirming care to transgender minors when Governor Spencer Cox signed a bill into law at the end of January. That includes restrictions on puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and surgeries. The American Civil Liberties Union of Utah and the National Center for Lesbian Rights are vowing to sue Utah. Meanwhile, a handful of other states already have restrictions, and more than a dozen others are considering them. Joining us today is Peyton Butler. He's a high school senior in South Jordan, Utah, and came out as transgender earlier in high school. He's received the gender-affirming treatment that Utah is now trying to ban. Hello, Peyton. Thank you for joining us to speak about such a personal topic. We really appreciate it.
Hey, yeah, of course. I think that more voices need to be heard right now, especially, you know, we're talking about like kids and high school age. It's hard.
Yeah. So start by telling us about yourself and when you first knew you were trans.
Well, my whole life, it's just been a little bit different. Like growing up, I always wanted to hang out with the boys. Like I was always more into more boy things. My parents always just called me like just a tomboy, you know, they're just like, oh, mm-hmm. She's just a little maybe more masculine, whatever. And I remember growing up in the LDS church, wearing dresses every Sunday was really, really difficult for me. And when I was about 8, like right before we left, my mom had me start wearing pants and I felt just, you know, so much more comfortable. I was just a lot more free to be me.
Mm. And also the LDS church, that's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or the Mormon church, correct?
Yes, yeah. So I was baptized when I was 8, and then a few months later, we left the church. I think my mom kind of knew that me and my sister were a little bit different. Mm. And as I kind of grew up and things were still like a little bit different, and I hit puberty, I noticed it was just, it felt like the end of the world. Like I remember my mom, she talked to me about how puberty was going to happen, like the changes my body was going to go through, and I just started bawling. I knew that that wasn't right. I just didn't have the language to kind of explain how I was feeling.
Mm. Okay, so you then begin a conversation with your parents, is it? That your mom's explaining to you about what a female will go through in terms of puberty. And what did you say to them and how did they react?
Well, I didn't know that I was a boy yet. And I just kind of still expressed like I was really uncomfortable with this. Like I didn't want to, you know, go through the changes that a female does, you know, like getting a bigger chest, like getting a period, all of that kind of stuff. I was not into that happening. And when I was about 12 or 13, the first kind of term I found that I sort of connected with was like being gay, being a lesbian. Because at the time, I was kind of exploring having crushes on girls and all of that. And I was like, oh, I like to dress masculine and I like girls. That must mean I'm just a lesbian.
Mm.
And about, I think I was 14 or 15, I finally kind of came to the conclusion that I wasn't a lesbian and I wasn't a girl. So I kind of came out to my mom. I was like, hey, I don't feel like a girl. I don't really know what to do. And my mom was incredible. She was like, okay, let's get you a haircut because I know you've always felt uncomfortable with your longer hair. Let's get you dressing differently. And just from those changes, my life got just infinitely better. It was so much easier to just wake up in the morning and look at myself in the mirror. And I felt more me, like a ninth grader should.
You know, there might be some people listening, and there are definitely politicians who would say that the age that you began feeling this, 14, is maybe too young to know. How do you respond to that? Because it seems like you really did know.
No one knows you better than you know yourself. Like, that is a phrase that I've heard since I was probably 3 or 4. Like, that's a phrase my mom has kind of given to me all the time. So kind of repeating that phrase to me over and over again, I was very aware of what I needed and what I wanted even at 14. And I think politicians and people who maybe don't completely agree with allowing a 14-year-old to transition maybe don't fully understand what it's like to be trans. And so they can't really understand what it's like to be 14 and in the wrong body.
Well, you know, your voice and speaking out really helps us to understand. So I thank you for that. And the next question, I think, you know, I hope it's not too personal, but you have had both testosterone and top surgery. And this is the very care that minors are now being banned from accessing. What would have it have meant for you to have to hold off until 18 instead of starting the treatment at the younger age that you did?
Well, it would have been a lot harder. Like, high school already is rough for everybody. Everyone is insecure. Everybody gets bullied. So if you are a 14-year-old, you know you're a boy, you've kind of socially transitioned, and you're not able to start the puberty blockers, you're not able to start hormones, you're not able to get the surgery, you are so far behind your other cis male peers. Because I remember I started testosterone when I was in my sophomore year of high school, and I was already so far behind everybody. Like, I looked a lot younger than I was, my voice was a lot higher, and I was just having like a really hard time kind of finding my place and fitting in. And I think that kind of also made me a target for some bullying. And so having kids not able to access that in general is just going to make the entire high school experience just that much worse.
It sounds like you've been through a lot.
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, it's really not easy being trans, especially in Utah.
So you've also spoken out, and you've spoken both to the governor of your state, Spencer Cox, and State Senator Mike Kennedy, who sponsored the bill. That must have been really hard. How was that, having to speak to these two really powerful men? And what did you have to say to them?
It was really hard, honestly, because to them, maybe it's not that big of a deal. They just signed the bill, whatever, it happens. But to me, this is like my entire life. Like, if I was 15, 16, and this bill was going into effect, I wouldn't know what my life is going to look like. So talking to Kennedy and talking to Cox, it was just, it felt like they couldn't hear me.
You know, I want to play a clip for our listeners of State Senator Mike Kennedy. Here's what he had to say last month as the bill was making its way through the legislature.
Caring for our children doesn't mean riding the latest radical wave. When the discussion centers around surgical procedures and administering drugs to children, the potential long-term negative outcomes cannot be ignored.
I mean, there's no shades of gray in that whatsoever. What do you have to say about Senator Kennedy's comments there?
I think it's really frustrating because his language is just negative. He's only focusing on like the bad parts of transitioning. Like, yeah, there are some things that I necessarily don't really want that comes with taking hormones, but I kind of have to accept that as transitioning. Kennedy actually did point out to me when I met with him that males live less time on average than females do. And he asked me if I was willing to kind of accept that with transitioning. And of course, my answer was yes, because you can't pick and choose what parts of the other gender you want. You have to kind of fully go into it knowing that you are becoming male. And I think when he talks about all of these negative outcomes, he's not really focusing on like the lives he's saving. Because yeah, I could not transition and maybe live a couple years longer because I stayed female, but I'm not really living. I'm just kind of going through life unhappy with who I am.
I wonder if you have a message for young people in Utah or in other states that have these similar bans who are being kept from accessing the care that you have received.
You know, I think just holding on, like, yeah, waiting is going to be awful and it's going to be excruciating and it might feel like the end of the world. But once you're able to start taking those hormones, once you get that surgery, once you can change your name, it just gets so much easier. Like, you can actually live. You can step outside and take a deep breath for the first time.
Peyton Butler, thank you so much for just enlightening us. He's a high school senior in Utah where lawmakers are blocking gender affirmative treatment for minors. Thank you, Peyton.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.